Good morning. I've adjusted the microphone volume a little bit. Can everybody hear me all right? Is the volume okay? If anybody has any trouble keeping track of what I'm saying or hearing it, just let me know, and we'll try to make it work. This is the second of two presentations that I called on Thursday, the backbone of the class. We talked about macro theories the other day, looking at issues related to sort of large pieces or components of a culture, things like race and income and how that changes life chances or even the profile of a country or culture or city or state, unemployment rates, market shares, parts of a country or culture. And there are two ways of looking at that, asking how a successful society reduces the gap between haves and have-nots, shrinks inequality, or maintains order, stability, efficiency, or consensus, making it work or function, a functionalist point of view. These are the two macro theoretical perspectives. Kind of a good review on that? Questions on anything I said regarding those topics? Okay. Well, good, because a week from Thursday, I'll have a few questions. That's the first exam. And there's this presentation, then a presentation on research methods on Thursday, one on culture on Tuesday. Next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, at 7 p.m. in this room, Christine will run a review session. And she will not tell you what's going to be on the test. I'm not sure she'll know. What she will do is put these lecture outlines up on the board or on the screen if she can, and then ask you what questions you have. In other words, fill in the gaps in your notes. You are, in effect, writing your own study guide as you are going through and taking down, you know, what appear to be key elements of each section. That's what the lecture outline is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a schematic of what becomes a study guide. And then if you miss something and on your own you want to recheck it, you can go to the audios and find what I said about that, and that'll work. That coupled with your readings, and you should probably notate the readings. If you can, in 25 words or less, summarize for someone who hasn't read it what the reading is about. You've probably got what you need for the test. So a week from Thursday, heads up on that. I'll tell you again and email you to this effect, but you'll need an orange Scantron for the test. That's the 5 answer choice Scantron, A, B, C, D, E. You'll need a number 2 pencil, obviously, and you'll need your R number. They won't be able to score your test if you don't bring your R number with you. Now, not everybody always does that, so that's just a heads up. All right, any other questions about technicalities or details or content of the macro theory presentation, or anything else for that matter? You'll find it useful to go over and maybe even listen to again that lecture before next Thursday. Today, then, I'm going to delve into what becomes the third answer choice on a question that begins, which sociological perspective? Macro point of view, it's either functionalist or conflict, but we will drop it down and talk about one other theoretical perspective. On the micro level, symbolic interaction. We're better at this than you think, and as I explain what this is about, you'll kind of get the idea. How do successful people use symbols and interpret meanings in order to understand each other? We use words, we wear clothing, we gesture, we buy jewelry, and so on, such that we have a kind of symbolic interaction. My new best friend in the third row over here revealed herself to be a Green Bay Packer fan by wearing a shirt with a logo on it that I recognized. So if I ever learn your name, you'll get an A in the class, but I probably won't. Get the idea? A symbolic interaction. We interpret the meaning of something, and then we behave as though we understand it. This is a brand new example. I've never used this in class before. I had a symbolic interaction over the weekend. I've been back and forth to Austin twice in the last 10 days or so because of this new grandbaby, who's, I must say, the coolest infant on the planet. I mean, you may have a competing story on that, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's a fairly lengthy drive between here and Austin, and often as not, I wind up stopping in Llano, which is sort of an interesting town anyway, because it really should be Llano, should it not? I mean, everybody else says Llano Estacado and so on. Everybody knows what that's about. It's the plains, as it were. There's a town in Illinois, believe it or not, called San Jose, as in San Jose. But are you kidding me? Anyway, I'm going through Llano, and I stop to get some water and have a comfort break, if you want to call it that. And I've already, you know, I've been through Llano many times, and I always get the idea that I don't quite fit in that town, if you know anything about Llano. And it just so happened, and this was a stupid idea on my part, and I felt a little self-conscious about it. I was dressed then, minus the coat, exactly as I am now. This particular T-shirt, these jeans, and so on. And it was a warm day, so I didn't have the coat on and all that. So I go into there's a Valero station there that looks like a hangout for everybody. I mean, it looks to me like it's required that you have a 30-06 in your pickup in order to stop at that particular gas station. And Llano appears to be the deer sausage and testosterone capital of the hill country. And I don't fit in. So I'm trying to get out of there without any trouble. And I get out of the place and I'm walking to my car, and a voice from behind me, I'm not making this up, a voice from behind me goes, "Well, I guess Superman's in disguise today." I thought, oh, crap. I'm instantly back in fourth grade and some dork is going to steal my lunch money, is what I felt like. But I'm not in fourth grade, and I have a very glib and quick mind and a sick sense of humor. And all I said was, without hardly looking, "If you need a locomotive stopped, I'm your guy." Then I quickly got in the car and drove away. What part of Man of Steel do you not get? Come on! It would take me a while to fight my way out of a wet paper bag. On the other hand, you get the idea, a symbolic interaction. What we perceive as real becomes real in its consequences. That is the opening line, and maybe the one and only, not the one and only, but the maybe most important soundbite that you can get from this presentation. We are on microtheory, and a guy named W.I. Thomas drew the observation that perception is reality, period. That what we imagine or perceive to be real becomes real in our own minds, and we act as though it is, whether or not it's real or not. And in fact, reality is by and large completely subjective. It's what we believe it to be. It's what we frame it to be. Now, educators and people who build schools try to stack the deck a little bit and create perceptions by putting people in rooms, by building stages, and giving people instructions, and we get practice and all that. But on a micro level, when two people are talking to one another or just encountering one another, even casually in a hallway or restaurant or anything else, there are sort of scripted patterns of interaction that we've come to understand through practice generally work, and that's how we behave. And then, regardless of whether or not message sent, message received, clicks, we act as though it did. Let me ask you this question. You ever had an encounter with a significant other or a friend that goes something like this? I mean, you've been apart for a while, and you know, you come home or you meet or you run into each other and you go, "Hey, how you doing?" And the answer is,